Welcome to the Innerside Radio program with me, Scooter. Not a great week, fellow Americans, especially for Texas and the big boom. Mine started with a touch of flu and went downhill from there with all of you. One bright spot is the emergence of the best conspiracy theory ever. Seth MacFarlane and Family Guy were in on the Boston bombing. It's a landmark. It's going to be hard for the wingiest of nuts to top that one. We're going to start off the mix with a filibuster, just like we started off this week of horrors.
Conventional wisdom, filibusters are not debates anyway. That's what I don't understand, and I'm hearing that from everybody, that somehow the filibuster is not welcome debate. Look who's in studio. This is a real pleasure. The guy that has made the filibuster hip again, Rand Paul, Senator from Kentucky. Good to see you, sir.
Hey, good morning. Glad to be with you.
You made tons of news, as you well know, on this filibuster, which I think procedurally would be different than what we're talking about perhaps this week. But before we get into this week and guns, let's talk about that last one. Go back there a little bit.
Article 7, Section 3 allows for a citizen filibuster. If I stand here and refuse to yield my time, you are prohibited from voting on the bill. Let the filibustering begin. As many of you have noted that use the internet, it has been announced that Disney has required the rights to the Star Wars franchise, and in the summer of 2015, we will see the release of Star Wars Episode 7. Herewith is my proposal for the plot of that movie. Begin with standard title sequence and John Williams fanfare, followed by a scroll to be written. I would like to mention that Brian De Palma wrote the original opening scroll for Star Wars Episode IV, A New Hope. I think it would be a nice nod to the franchise if he were to write this opening scroll. Then, pan down from the twin sons of Tatooine, we are now close on the mouth of the Sarlacc pit. After a beat, the gloved Mandalorian armor gauntlet of Boba Fett grabs onto the sand outside the Sarlacc pit, and the feared bounty hunter pulls himself from the maw of the sand beast.
Okay, this is exactly...
And we realize that he survived his fall during the battle at Jabba's palace ship.
Okay, there was a Family Guy episode that aired March 17, 3 weeks before yesterday's tragic bombings at the Boston Marathon. In this episode, in one scene, the main character is depicted as winning the Boston Marathon by killing all the other participants. There you can see the blood, the limbs, and the guts.
Then do a hard cut to a repurposed Imperial Destroyer, which has now been taken over by the Rebels. Commander Luke Skywalker, now a full Jedi Knight, training new Padawans, is using, ironically, his father Anakin's red lightsaber, which will be a symbolic, I think, visual for his battle with how to both bring about the new Jedi Order while still acknowledging his father's fall from grace.
The main character is depicted detonating by accident two explosive bombs via a cell phone. Okay, Family Guy broadcast 3 weeks before Boston Marathon bombings.
The mysterious man in the hoodie. There were cops all over the roofs in hoodies. We've got the video, we've got the photos.
But the mainstream media, along with Family Guy creator Seth MacFarlane, have called the whole issue a hoax, as if the episode never existed.
They kept making announcements to the participants, don't worry, it's just a training exercise. Now, that is nowhere in the national news.
As he is training the Padawans, we pan outside of the control window to a nearby asteroid where we see, and please allow me to finish this because it's gonna seem like a bit of a jump, we see Thanos, who was the villain teased at the end of the first Avengers movie.
Scenes which depict Boston Marathon runners killed, murdered, blood, guts, limbs everywhere, and a separate scene depicting two explosive devices being detonated. Something doesn't quite add up. Seth MacFarlane and others are calling people who dare to even discuss it as abhorrent when he's the one making cartoons joking about killing people at the Boston Marathon.
Now, Thanos, as you know, owns the Infinity Gauntlet, which has the Time Gem, the Mind Gem, the Power Gem, the Space Gem, and the Reality Gem. If he holds the Reality Gem, that means he can jump from different realities. This will be our link to the Marvel Universe from the Star Wars Universe.
In the morning before this happened, he said, get ready. They're looking to blame something on the Patriots or the Muslims. Probably the Muslims. And he said, that's all I can tell you. I need to call that guy back. Staged attacks to be blamed on Patriots are imminent. Obama is doubling down, according to his federal source, who I was able to talk to yesterday.
We then cut to Earth. Tony Stark realizes that they're...
I mean, they are
Tony Stark realizes...
This is someone... and that's how you know, when they're ready, when they script.
This is someone that I know. I know who that is.
The way the whole thing's
scripted. The first person I've known.
Oh, and I forgot. Rob Dew's brother-in-law.
Tony Stark realizes, I do not recognize the chair. Tony Stark realizes that there has been a disturbance in what he will call a time ribbon.
And then you've got a drill from the start to the finish about the New World Order and stuff.
He then starts to assemble...
He's married to the guy's sister.
...assemble the cream of the Marvel Universe. Not the second tier...
He runs for the Team Army.
...superheroes that we saw in the first Avengers movie.
Who is in military intelligence, pretty high level.
I'm sorry, but Hawkeye and Black Widow are not first tier. He would go find...
Sometimes wins.
Spider-Man exists in that universe. He would go find Moon Knight. He would go find Daredevil.
He was in the official Team Army marathon truck.
He would go find Hercules, and then that can bring in the entire pantheon of Greek gods that we saw in Clash and Wrath of the Titans.
They had a Family Guy that aired 2 weeks ago where the dad, who's a Tea Party guy, joins the Taliban.
So now we have a giant three franchise tie-in.
And West Point says it. Army to Crush Tea Party Rebellion, Forbes, AP, Reuters.
Now, cut back to the Imperial Star Destroyer. Luke gets a visit from, and we only show this from the boots up first. So we show these, like, black boots with the, and then we pan up and, oh my God, it's Han Solo.
You're like, that doesn't make sense. Now, it will make sense. Family Guy has him at a subconscious level. It's almost subliminal. We're going to play this coming up. It's up at InfoWars.com.
But he's older and grizzled and really, like, focused and cool. Like, he's seen some really bad stuff, and he actually seems shaken. And Luke is like, what's wrong, old buddy? And that's when Han drops Chewbacca's severed head onto the floor.
Bombing the Boston Marathon.
Yes, in front of all the Padawans.
No way. Kids aren't going to like
this. On the floor in front of the Padawans.
Kids are not going
to. Please let me finish. Thank you.
At the finish line with two bombs, with a cell phone detonator.
The Padawans are all horrified, and Han says that the planet Kashyyyk has been destroyed by this very mysterious force.
Say they'd have these type of events and blame it on Patriot groups. And even if they end up going with a Middle Eastern group, because there's a low probability it could be a real terror group from the Middle East, that some of that does happen. Usually it's provocateur, allowed to happen, sometimes staged. We know they're going to use the crisis to take our liberties. 9 out of 10 times, I mean, I've been immersed in it, I know you have been as well, all the channels, all the news, that it's a Tea Party patriot on tax day that did this.
Now we know, this was Thanos. Thanos is beginning to, gather power in this new universe. So while they take Chewie's head down to... Because we've seen that, they can build new bodies. They're going to build Chewie, this really cool robot. I'm thinking spider body, like a cool spider body with Chewie's head and ion cannons on it. But that will be in the... He'll come back. That'll be the post-credits tease of this film. So keep that in mind. So I don't want you guys bummed out because Chewbacca's not dead. He will come back.
No, I was bad to say it first. You see, I was supposed to sit there all cowardly and I'm not supposed to speculate. I'm supposed to wait till the known lying federal government who ran Fast and Furious and other false flags they've been caught doing that killed thousands of people. You don't see them personalizing each one of those dead like they're doing these dead. I mean, they are just using this. And that's how you know when they're ready, when they script it, The way the whole thing's scripted.
Then Luke looks down and Han's wedding ring is gone. Hey, what happened with you and Leia? And Han's like, don't even get me started on that. So now we know where did Leia go? Where did Leia go? She's not gone, but we will find out.
But the female part's a little underwritten so far, sir. I'd like to point that out.
I'm citizen filibuster. Thank you. And really, thank you for respecting our town laws by interrupting me.
You know, the one point I would probably add is government gives, you know, children free laptops that taxpayers paid for, and then keylogs all their strokes on record and watches the kids at home. And that's what iPhones do. That's what all these smart devices do. These are all Trojan horses or rings of Mordor.
Yes.
Exactly then why we need
at
to...
Then at the edge of the Star Destroyer's orbit, suddenly the time ribbon begins wavering, and what comes through? The X-Men's Quinjet. That's right.
Rings of Mordor. Rings of Sauron given to you, but in the darkness, mind you.
What we did was back on Earth, we showed him gathering up all the heroes, but we didn't see him gathering up the X-Men, so oh my goodness.
And people said, well, then why do you use it? Well, I can use the technology to fight the globalist one foot in, one foot out, as a way to get into the Matrix and warn people.
Now Wolverine's going to be there. Now Cyclops is going to be there. So the Quinjet comes through. Luke gets in his X-Wing to go out and meet them, and they engage in this awesome star battle.
In Boston, in the very same, you know, a few days, and I'm telling you, this is epic,
and it
what
looks
we're
like
seeing happen.
Quinjet actually is going to shoot Luke down, and suddenly this volley of lasers comes in, and what comes flying in is we think it's going to be...
They set up three people for the anthrax attack. Turned out it was super U.S. weapons grade Fort Detrick, Maryland. The third patsy they grabbed, they took to a hospital. A doctor drugged him and killed him. It was a line in the back of the local paper that while in a straitjacket, he was fed prescription Tylenol till he died.
We think it's going to be the Millennium Falcon, just like in Episode 4 when he comes in and saves him during the Battle of Yavin. But no, it is Slave 1. That's right, Boba Fett chipped Slave 1 has to save Luke because, of course, he's trying to track down Han. He can't have Luke die.
So, I would say 99% of people in the military and the police and the bomb squads are not terrorists. 10 years of never having a real bomb and blowing up shopping bags that blow out of trucks on the side of the highway, they'll go plant a bomb. And it's always back of the paper. So criminology-wise, that's who you look at. And still, it's a very small minority of them that do it, but statistically, it's a much larger minority than the public.
Now, it's a battle between the Quinjet, between the X-Wing, between Slave One, and then we see that Millennium Falcon is flying away. So Slave One goes off to do that. But then we cut down to Coruscant, where Princess Leia is now consulting with Lando Calrissian. Now, it looks like they're just having a very intense meeting about trade regulations and about...
Oh, sir, why were loudspeakers telling people in the audience to be calm moments before the bomb went off? Is this another false flag stage attack to take our civil liberties and put more homeland security by sticking their hands down on the pants on the streets?
I will not finish my speaking about trade regulations.
Why was people being told prior?
9:30 tomorrow.
Why was people being told prior to the bombs going off to stay calm? That's a false flag, gentlemen. Just to put more TSA on the street to rob our civil liberties.
These are the signs. And then you have Bush, Cheney, and Obama being indicted by a congressional bipartisan committee for premeditated torture.
But then, suddenly, when the rest of the council meeting leaves...
This is unprecedented. And folks, you know I don't go on air and say, this is the biggest thing ever without it being huge. This is, hands down, the most out-of-control, wild, breaking news that we've ever brought to you. And quite frankly, I don't want to be the person breaking this. This is incredibly dangerous. This is unprecedented. And, you know, I went and bought champagne 4 years ago when the Copenhagen documents came out that they were fraudulently lying about global warming to create a global tax. I popped champagne on the air. I called it a Death Star exploding event.
Oh my God, Lando Calrissian and Princess Leia are having an affair, and that is why Han Solo, because look, Lando Calrissian was like, hey, if I'm gonna lose the Millennium Falcon to you, I'll just take your woman.
This dwarfs that. If you take this news and get it out to people, this is a huge defeat. I mean, this is a huge defeat and a testament to the people. This false flag is in chaos.
I commend the crew. I commend you, the viewers and listeners. It's up to you whether this thing gets millions of views. Everybody needs to see this. They are in disarray right now. I've talked to Dr. Pechenik and others. Clear false flag to basically go after the American people.
Now, cut back to the Quinjet and Reed Richards from the Fantastic Four is piloting it. Oh, it was a fake out. It's him, and we have select members of the X-Men that I thought, in my opinion, were not focused on properly in the earlier films. We have Colossus in there. We have X-23, which is Wolverine's daughter. And then we have a now mind-controlled Sabretooth. And, of course, Wolverine.
I guess they're going to arrest somebody later. And they've got all this evidence, and it's footage. And so they were responding right then because they already knew about this. These were public videos and photos for almost 2.5 days.
And, of course, Wolverine. So imagine those two going up against Robot Chewbacca, because that's going to happen. That is what we're teasing right now.
And it was hiding in plain view.
That was Patton Oswalt. An outtake from Parks and Recreation in the mix with everybody's favorite paranoid asshat, Alex Jones, and his flying monkey tinfoil hat inspectors. Good friends, the great Jonathan Winters Adams are returning to the universe since we last spoke. What better way to lift our spirits? Here he is from The Tonight Show in 64 with host Jack Parr.
If Jonathan Winters is ever accused of anything, he's got the perfect alibi. He was someone else at the time. When I first saw him before the show, he was still trying to decide whether he to be a drunken Eskimo, the queen of the Vikings, or a doorknob. I'd rather he came out simply as himself to begin with, because when he's Johnny Winters, he cannot be imitated. The wild, wild man, my friend Jonathan Winters.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you, Jack. That thing you said, he'd probably die tonight. But I've had a full life. 38, so easy come, easy go. I had kind of a different day today. I did a thing that a lot of us probably would like to do, maybe. Few of us don't. I don't know. I'll just have to ask you. Did you ever undress in front of a dog? You think about that for a minute. I don't know. People, you know, it's funny. A bird somehow doesn't count, right? Or a cat. But a dog, they really stare. I just come out of the shower, and here was my dog just... You know they can't talk, right? That's the way they look at you, that. And wagged her little tail and went out and told her friends what she'd seen. But it is different. You know, try it sometime. I guess all of us enjoy a good movie from time to time. I'm quite a moviegoer. I go on the average of at least twice a week. I like a good, solid horror picture. And I'd like to give you a typical horror picture, my horror picture. You often say to yourself, why do all horror pictures start the same way? It's never a clear night, never. It's always a rainy night, bolt of lightning, and some poor devil in a 36 Chevy is stalled on a muddy road. And on top of that, the bridge is out. And he can't get to a motel or a hotel. He sort of makes his way up through some bushes and stuff up to this filthy castle, which is just covered with poison ivy. And that's where our warm scene opens. Hello there. I'm Dr. Jameson. Is Dr. Freilich here? Obviously, you're not the doctor. Come in, Jamie. Why, it's been years since I've seen you. Must have been at least 20 years have passed since we worked together there at Friedhofen.
And all the projects. You remember the students, they called me a kook. But I must tell you, Jamie, I've hit it finally. A fantastic project that hasn't been easy. All these villagers down there with their torches, doing all this and poking and throwing stones at the castle.
That woman, Doctor. That woman, she's coming down the stairway. She looks like she's dead. She is. She's been dead for over 50 years. I call her the princess. Come in, my child. Lovely creature, isn't she? She's come down for her harp lessons. Jamie, there's so much I want to talk to you about. You must get out of those wet clothes. We'll have some sandwiches, some goodies, and some hot tea. Igor. I must do something about him. Obviously, the formula went wrong. Jamie, I want you to see my new laboratory. Well, I'm awfully tired. Please, now. Observe the laboratory. I told you about this project. I want you to look under that sheet and see what I've been working on. I hope I didn't see what I saw. A little man, 6 inches long. His face, hair, those tiny feet. His feet. How many of these little men do you have, Doctor?
Over 18,000. I've got them all there in that file cabinet. Tomorrow at 12 minutes past the hour of 12, I shall release them to the world. I've changed my mind. I'm going to release them tonight.
Those little men, where are they going? What are they looking for?
They're looking for little women. You
Here's Jonathan roasting Johnny Carson.
Right now, Johnny, I feel like Ralph Edwards because the next man I'm going to introduce is somebody out of your past. Remember when you were a kid in public school back in Norfolk, Nebraska? Well, here's one of your old classmates, Mr. Willis Mumford. God love you. What's that reason? I feel like a fool in these coveralls. Arnold Stebler drove me around in a semi-truck for the past 15 hours, and he said we were supposed to meet down at the barn, and there's a surprise for you there. And I just want to tell you this. The guys feel different about you. If you was to come home now, they'd just beat the life out of you. So don't come back to Norfolk right away. I remember, you know, I guess you do too. At the high school, you know, Johnny was, he started out, he was in all kinds of things. He was in everything. One thing he wanted to be more than anything, he used to tell me, I was one of his best buddies at the time, and him and me would go out into an open field, and we'd just look up and talk to one another and everything, and he says, you know what, I'd rather be more than anything in the world is a magician. And so he started magic, and he gave himself a name, the Great Carsoni, and he thought on that real hard. he'd take a little, we didn't have no bunnies, and so he took a squirrel and dyed it white. And pulled it out, you know, and the people go, that's a white squirrel. the fact that you've been able to make two wives disappear
Here's Jonathan Winters on Johnny Carson's Tonight Show with Robin Williams in 1991, dressed in a cavalry uniform.
We lost the fort. The Indians were sober. We were drunk this time. Well, great to be here.
Nice to see you, my God.
Nice to be here.
How goes the battle?
Well, pretty good so far. Made it across into Van Nuys. That one shoulder took us out. Gosh, I was so taken with this guy. I was when I first met him, and on Mork and Mindy, we did. We had a marvelous time.
Those were good days.
You had access to more medication in those days.
Yeah, some of the shows were real quick.
I noticed the stuff wore off tonight.
Columbian College Fund. Yeah.
Mr. Williams didn't know you in the days when you and I were...
Oh, when we were on the sauce.
When we were having a little...
Well, yeah, Johnny and I...
General, what is your official title for that? General or just...
General, I'd like to be a general. Okay. I was a corporal, I'd rather be a general tonight.
I want to congratulate...
Makes me feel important.
Yes, I want to congratulate you, General, on winning the Emmy for Davis Rules, Best Supporting Actor.
Thank you. I must tell you briefly about it. I know our time is limited here, but...
Not really.
I really didn't think that I was going to win, and otherwise I would have been there. And I turned to my wife of many years, and I said, "What do you think, sweetheart?" And she said, "You don't stand a chance." And so...
It's that kind of support that's kept you together, right. Hasn't it?
That makes one want to return to, the shaving lotion.
You don't stand a chance, she said.
You don't stand. Oh, she just said, look at the competition. And it was Cheers and all this. Right. They've been on many, many years. And I thought, well, what do we do? And fortunately, we had a thrilling evening. We had a choice, one choice, of going to a fellow's house to have ribs. They were marvelous ribs, hands and all that stuff. And then we sat down and watched. There were about 12 or 14 of us, and then they announced it. And I saw the picture of myself, a still. And there's just no explanation, where is he? They can say a lot of things. And I was in just a house with a handful of other people, mm-hmm. and ribs. So, but it was a big throw. I asked, and then the following day, I said, where is the award?
That's right.
And somebody said, well, since you weren't there, you don't get it.
Was that your wife again?
No.
How is the missus, by the way?
She's fine.
Good.
She's fine. She looks better than ever. And, of course, come on, we're not kids anymore, John, you know? And, but she's not bedridden, and,
It's not around the house
anymore. No, that's right. No. She's very active.
But the romance is still there.
But you've got to stay up all night, to keep her active. And, a lot of things she'd say, I come at her and play these ridiculous games. I'm sure he plays the same thing. And
do you wear this uniform when you...
Sometimes, yeah. Sure.
Nothing wrong with that.
Just the cape, no pants.
That's right.
That's right.
And, you react battle scenes, I suppose?
Many times she'll say things like, I don't know what she means by that. Don't you have a ball game to watch? 4 o'clock in the morning, I don't think many of them are playing. At any rate.
You get back to Ohio often?
Oh, I get back every once in a while. There's always a guy with a toothpick, And, hey, how you doing, John? Very good to see you. How you doing out there? We don't see you. We don't get what you do here. Well, do you get anything? Not a lot. Not a lot.
The
only thing in my section of Ohio, the river's dried up. Fish are just there in the dust.
They're good eating, though.
That's what we have.
Already get yourself some trout jerky.
It's like a chicken, if you...
This has been the Interside Radio program. My name is Scooter, and I'll see you all next week.